Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. This is your host with the most, Lady J, accompanied by her BFF, Mr.
Eric Anthony.
You weren't expecting that intro.
I was not expecting that intro at all.
I took over the mic.
You took over the mic, you took over the show, but I like it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is the Cave of Solitude, your
favorite podcast.
Your pop culture and comic book podcast.
Yeah, that's what I just skipped to
the end. I think I like your shorter version. Lady J, continue. Yeah.
What?
Take it away.
I don't know what to do now.
So this is your, as we said, your pop culture and comic book podcast. I'm Eric Anthony, the host with the most. Lady J is here. Lady J, tell everybody what's been going on in your world.
A lot of things. I haven't seen you. Because you've been a busy bee. You've been all over the place.
I've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Do tell. Pray tell.
Something like a teacup.
Something like a teacup.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a coffee.
Yeah. It does.
Yes, this weekend was the teacup.
How was it?
It was my first time going.
Yes.
We talked about it with
Shane Heron.
Shane Heron on episode 116.
The Shane Heron.
Is he going to be the only one designated with the? I think he wants to be.
I think he's deserved that title.
Of being the.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He'll be happy to hear that. So we talked about it on the last episode with Shane Heron. TCAF is the Toronto Comics Art Festival. Happens every May. I think it's the second weekend in May every year. It's held at the Toronto Reference Library. And it's free. And what's cool about it is the premier show in many ways for indie comic publishers. So at this type of show, you're not going to get the typical Marvel, DC, cosplay, you know, celebration that you'll get. Huh. It's not as mainstream, but a lot of mainstream people are at these shows.
So is this comparable to the Mocha Fest that we went to in New York City?
It's in the same vein as the Mocha Fest. I think it modeled itself after Mocha Fest.
Okay.
If I remember Shane telling us that.
So,
but it's bigger.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't go.
What made you stay back this time?
I was tired.
Yeah.
It was a hard week.
Fair enough.
It was a hard work week, and I think I just needed a day. And then it was going to be rainy that day and like cold. And I was just like, I don't have the energy to try to keep up with what was going to happen at this festival. Mm. And I didn't want to be a drag. Mm. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to live vicariously through you. And, you went.
I did. I went. Enjoyed it. I went there supposed to be meeting Shane. And as I got there, he was just waking up.
Of course. Of course you are.
I think his sleep schedule was off, but he did show up while I was. It was funny because I started an interview with Emmanuel Chateauneuf. I think that's how you say it correctly. I'm not great with the French accent or pronunciation. So I was in the middle of an interview with her, the writer and artist of that book, Queen Street, I showed you.
Okay.
So we were in good, deep interview conversation, and I see Shane walking by, and I just kind of waved to him, and that was like how we met at the show, but I had to look for him after the fact because he didn't interrupt the interview. So that was like around, I would say 1:30.
It was a two-day event, right?
It's a two-day event, yes. So I just went for the one day, get a feel for it.
If you would have gone for 2 days, did it feel like it would have been redundant? Or, like, were there panels?
Yes.
What was going on there?
Yes, there's panels. I think the more I go to this show, it could be something that I do a two-day thing of. The more I get to know maybe certain artists, creators, or kind of get my feet wet in knowing what kind of thing I'm ready to pick. Because the thing with a show like this is everybody there is putting out their book.
Right.
Right? Very original ideas.
It's independent.
And they're avant-garde a lot of the time, the stuff that they do, stuff that's way over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Or things that you wouldn't normally see in a comic book shop or a bookstore because they are whatever people want them to be.
Right.
So sometimes it's like, whoa, that's in there. Okay.
Right.
Kind of thing. So I'm very much still kind of, I lean towards judging a book by its cover. So I like the presentation of the book.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, you're going to break a
breath. Yeah, I'm good.
The quietest sneezes ever. I'm still very much into the presentation of a book.
Mm.
And
is it because you think you have been, I mean, I know you've given other things a chance, but do you think like the big two have kind of made it impossible for people to go outside that comfort zone and look for something outside of that?
That's a good question. I think the big two have made people want to go outside of the comfort zone because they're kind of tired of the same old, and it's almost like they want stories that count. They want stories that have a beginning, middle, and end, where with superhero big two
it's serialized. Like Young and the Restless. It's like Victor Newman is still like...
Yeah, and there's a lot of cheats.
Right.
Where they like, we're rebooting. So everything you liked for the last 20 years, just, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's an ongoing story that then just runs out of steam and then they just kibosh it and
right.
Put a spin on it that normally is not a popular one with the readers anyway.
Exactly. So it's like if somebody has the great idea of marrying Catwoman and Batman, let's say,
ugh.
Which you wouldn't like, right?
No.
But for somebody like me, that interests me because it takes the character in a different direction.
Right. I understand that. I do understand that concept. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I'm like, yeah, let's see what
it
Bruce
explores
Wayne...
explores a different level of
yeah.
this person's... what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for?
Psyche? Or...
yeah.
Just their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? So it isn't so much that I want that to happen. That's the top of my list. But it interests me. You're looking at Kobe the dog.
Look at her legs.
She's laying on her back like a kangaroo.
Yeah. It's just funny. From this angle, I see his legs. I just see paws in the air.
Hind legs sticking up.
You were saying, sorry.
Yeah. So you marry off a character, let's say, and you've got your old school fans who say, no, you're ruining the character. They don't
do that. Okay,
but they
married Peter Parker.
And they reversed it.
Oh.
Because... that's why, if you notice...
because I think after a while, like, it kind of deadens the story. Like, how much further can you go? Like, then you're just gonna... although you can develop the person and, like, okay, now they're married. And then I mean, it's not in our world, but, like, what's the next step once you get married? Oh, you have a family.
Right.
And then it's, like, you're tied down by kids. And then what happens after kids? Like, you become... you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a mundane cycle.
Right.
And I think that's what kind of deadens the character, which is why they end up saying, let's start from the beginning again.
Right. And that's fair, which I appreciate that. But at the same time, I don't expect Peter Parker to be 20 years old and single and down on his luck forever.
True
I get
enough.
Tired of that too,
right?
Right?
Right.
So the great thing about a character like you bring up Peter Parker or Batman, he has his Robins. They get older.
Mm-hmm.
They grow out of those roles. They change. So Robin becomes Nightwing. Nightwing becomes Batman eventually. Bruce Wayne gets old. Alfred dies. It's sad, but that's life. And as much as these books are escapist material, we also see ourselves.
So then what happens then? What happens then? Let's say someone is ballsy enough to say, like, let's take this character to their limit. Now, Bruce Wayne has gray hair. Alfred is no longer in existence. What then? Does that mean that we're just done with the character and Batman is shelved forever?
No, see, and that's...
but then at some point you have to reboot the character anyway.
You do. And I guess the best example of it would be things like a Sherlock Holmes. They have Sherlock Holmes stories that take place in the original era when it was made, and now they have Sherlock Holmes on BBC with Benedict Cumberbatch, which still captures the essence of the character of him and Watson in a completely new era with completely new things for him to work with. It's still Sherlock Holmes.
But it's still the core character, though.
Exactly. That's the key. So if there's a timeline
so
where...
so it's essentially a reboot.
It's a reboot, but it's like there was regular Spider-Man at one point in time, and then there was Ultimate Spider-Man at the same time, running concurrently.
Which I don't understand how
so,
that works.
So how that works is it's still Marvel, but it's a different universe. So this Ultimate Spider-Man, they're taking...
isn't that a cheat?
It's not a cheat because they're telling stories
about the same character in different variations.
Yeah, very different variations. So instead of Gwen Stacy dying in the same way and they just retell that story, let's say instead of her dying, she actually lived and came back to life. And she and Peter became more like best friends. And he's still with MJ, but as teenagers. So they take all of the things you know and they tell a new narrative, but sticking to the essence of the character. And so a lot of what you see in the movies are combinations of classic Spider-Man with Ultimate Spider-Man. And a lot of things people like better are Ultimate Spider-Man stuff.
What do you like better?
I loved Ultimate Spider-Man when I was reading it. It was so fresh. And
Ultimate Spider-Man is what?
Ultimate Spider-Man was a line...
For those that don't know.
So back in the early 2000s, late 90s, I think, they launched the Ultimate line, which... press the refresh button for characters that had existed in, let's say, the 60s. So what if Peter Parker grew up in today's world where there was an internet? So instead of him just being a photographer working with film, he could work digitally and he can email his photos to the Daily Bugle. And it was Norman Osborn's technology, like in the movies, that created the spider, that radioactive spider that bit him. What if it wasn't just a class trip? Maybe it was something... it was Norman Osborn that did it, or his laboratories did it. So there's automatically a connection there. And let's say Eddie Brock was not a guy who disliked Peter Parker because, oh, you ruined my career as a photographer. What if they were actually friends growing up as children who parted ways, and then when they come back together, Eddie Brock says, you know, our fathers were both working on this symbiote that would heal people's cancer. And they went missing because they almost came to finding it. Similar to the movie where Doc Connors and Peter's dad were working on a solution for something. So they take those elements and instead of making Aunt May this old haggard lady, she was a hippie. She was at Woodstock. She's still a widow. Uncle Ben still died, but she's a little bit more with it. She can kind of whip Peter into shape, kind of how they did Marissa Tomei.
Mm.
You know, so... all the elements are there, the relationships are there, but you're not beholden to, oh, but Aunt May has to be old and she has to be dying. If she's not dying and Peter rescuing her, then it's just not Spider-Man, I don't want to read it. It's like, why? So, I'm going on a Spider-Man tirade again.
That's okay.
So it's kind of like, what if Bruce Wayne, for instance, went broke instead of being the billionaire?
Well, that happened already in the movies.
In the movie. But let's say in the comics, for, you know, the next 2 or 3 years, we tell you a story of Bruce Wayne being broke. That would make an interesting Batman.
Hmm.
Because now he's got to use all his other skills, other than wealth, to figure out how to make it. So Bruce is so functional because he's well-trained, he's extremely smart, but he's also got a ton of wealth.
Yeah, but I don't think he relies on his wealth.
But it's his gadgets. Solely. Right? But it's the fact that he's got satellites, he's got a belt, he's got vehicles, he's got private planes.
Yeah, but whether he loses it now or whatever, it doesn't take away from the fact that he already beholds this stuff.
So what if he had a limited supply of it and he couldn't keep making more like he can? What if he had every batarang counted? How do you tell that story? That, you know what I mean? Some people be like, oh, no, I don't want to read that. I don't like it. Nope, that's
not... No, I think I like that idea, actually, because I feel like it challenges the character. I like it.
Yeah. So some people get sick of that. They're like, nah, I'm done. I've read the last Batman story I need to read. I don't need to keep on reading it. I'm done with it. I want to read something that is original. I want to read something that someone created. It's their heart, their passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's no one's tampering with it, because if they make that character, they can't print that t-shirt anymore. You know, and that's what happens with DC. If you make Superman divorce Lois because of infidelity, you've ruined Superman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can't sell that to kids.
That doesn't bode well with me.
Right. But
it really, because it changes the whole core of the character right there, yeah.
So what if somebody made a version of a Superman-esque character or a Batman-like character, but all of the things that we kind of would imagine Batman doing or Superman or not doing, they let these guys do it. It's like, what if Superman was Superman?
But the big two puts limitations on how much you can take these type of risks or make changes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you do that, the next at the end of your contract of writing this thing, you got to fix it and make it seem like, put the toys back in the box is the term, right? Mm. Take them out, do whatever you want.
Versus this independent thing.
Anything goes.
Hmm.
Right?
There's more liberties that can be taken.
And that's why Invincible is one of the best comic book series I've ever read.
Hmm.
Because he owned the characters, he could do whatever he wanted with them, and you never knew who was going to die and who was going to stay dead and who may come back or who was a villain the entire time.
Guess who owns the character?
Who owns it?
The Shane Heron.
Not the Invincible.
Not the Invincible, but who does he own?
The Morris?
The Morris.
The Morris.
The Morris.
Exactly.
It came out.
He came out.
It's a full shebang.
It's complete.
I read it.
You did?
I did.
You want to review it?
I read it in, 15 minutes maybe?
Less.
Less. I don't know. Who's counting?
Who's counting?
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Would you read more?
I think so, because I need to know what's going on.
Did you like it because there wasn't a lot of words?
Very much so. Very much. It was an easy read. I felt like, but then at the same time, like, what's happening? I didn't. How did you feel? You saw it. He gave it to you.
He gave it to me.
I didn't get a signed copy, though.
That's true. We can get a signed copy.
That needs to be arranged.
You need a signed copy?
Congratulations to the Shane Heron with the release of Morris.
Officially.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're out there.
There was a, what's it called?
Variant cover?
Yeah, I was going to say variant, which is why I did this with my fingers.
It made the V.
Mm-hmm.
From guy's name is Casey Parsons.
I'm holding it right now.
That's the Shane Heron cover.
I was very careful with it.
You were.
And this was my experience with the Morris. The pages were staticky. I didn't know if it's because it's brand spanking.
Fresh off the printer.
They're still staticky. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, this first page of the moonlight and in the river with like this Amazonian looking forestry type thing is
the
one
swamp?
Of
swamp.
Yeah, is that what it is?
It's a swamp.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good.
It's nicely done. It just looks, it looks like what it is.
Yes. It really puts you there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? Are we reviewing?
You can review it.
Oh, my.
You feel pressure? Because you know the Shane?
Because I know the Shane. I can't just say, what the hell is this thing? Like, you know those top-notch, like, books that get awards and stuff?
Like
and
Paper
then,
Girls? And right. You're just like, yeah, I don't like it.
Meh.
Nah, I don't like it.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I gotta look at this guy in the face next time. By the way, he made this pecan whiskey.
Bourbon pecan.
Oh, bourbon.
Bourbon pecan pie.
Delish.
Yeah, it was very good.
I was on a high after that. Yeah, it was delicious.
It was very good.
Amazing. That's why he came late. He's a jack of all trades. He's a baker. He's a comic book artist. He's everything. Good for you. Congratulations. Here's to you. Cheers. Look at all this. Lizards and things.
Komodo boys.
So what did you think? Did you read it?
Of course I read it.
And?
I enjoyed it a lot.
Hey,
I wanted
guess what?
More. That's when you know that you like it. I want to be in this world a little bit more. I want more stories to be told.
I'm envisioning his landlord.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. He named it after his landlord.
He did. I remember this.
We make an appearance.
You do?
Me and Martin Slam Duncan make our first appearance in a comic book.
It is the one panel where I'm like, yeah, you know what?
You can't spoil it, though.
This is,
It's out of place.
It's not out of place as it is so much as...
Forced.
As it is, he did you guys a solid.
He did.
That's what it was.
Well...
And that must be so special for you guys.
It is
special. We can't speak on behalf of the Martin Slam Duncan, but how do you feel about this? How do you feel about
it? I love
that?
It. I love it because...
Is that like,
You can't spoil it.
Like
you
science
can't spoil it. It's,
type things?
No, it's a very specific and accurate reference. It's like to the T.
Okay, tell me. What do you mean you can't spoil it? Everyone's reading this.
Martin hasn't gotten his copy yet. He hasn't seen this. He wants to wait for it. So
he
we
hasn't
can't,
seen it?
He hasn't seen
at
it.
At all?
At all. No, nothing. So we're waiting for him to see it. And then we'll talk about it. But... I'm very happy with it.
So, spoilers, Martin Slam Duncan. Skip to minute 25.
No, minute 25.
I want to know what this is. What is that? Is that like a hold on a second. Hold on a second. Like a physics thing? Like a Big Bang theory?
Yeah.
Type of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
And if you look at what that's referenced from, it's like spot on.
Tell me.
I'll show you later.
Back to the Future?
I'll show you later.
Why can't you tell me now?
Because Martin's listening.
Martin skipped to minute 25.
We're at the 20-minute mark.
I know, that's enough time for us to talk about it.
He dressed me up as Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
No freaking way.
Because we're both big Back to the Future fans, and if I was going to be in the West, that's probably how I would dress.
That's excellent. Excellent. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if people are not sure who...
You even got your glasses right.
That's the thing. Yeah, I'm wearing glasses. I'm the only person, I think, in the town of Beatrice who has a set of glasses.
Your bandana looks like a pizza slice.
It's a proper bandana. It's exactly. I was very happy with. The only thing he did me a solid.
Are you wearing gloves or is your hand a different shade from your face?
I'm wearing gloves.
Oh, okay, you're wearing gloves. Got it.
And the hat, if he would have made it like the hat that Marty wore in Back to the Future with this outfit, I would have looked like a dork. So thank you for not giving me the Seamus McFly hat.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I enjoyed it very much. I like the world he's built. I like the...
I like all the wrinkles in everyone's faces. Mm-hmm. I feel like it made everyone tangible.
Yes, you know very much so.
And it seemed like the expressions on the face were defined. Mm-hmm. I liked that, actually. And the frowning, and that's what I look like on a daily basis. Yeah.
Maybe a character in another book who dies will be named Daphne. DJ.
Dies? Why would she die?
Because in the creator own book, you can do whatever you'd like. Maybe you could be the villain.
I wouldn't mind that so much, actually.
And you'd get killed.
Well,
that's a good way to go out.
Thanos made it.
Thanos,
tomatoes, tomatoes. Whatevs. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
So you're a fan.
You know what? I enjoyed it.
I'm good.
It was
glad.
Short and sweet. How many issues is it going to be?
I think because he's got another job, he can't be making this as quickly as a regular comic would come out.
Mm.
So it'll take a little bit more time.
Is this a mechanical tale?
I think it's a mechanical tale.
I was trying to understand what's happening.
Yeah, because it takes place in the future. The story takes place... The future, yeah. Yeah, it's after there's been some sort of a... apocalypse on Earth where this
How does the Western world live in the future? My mind.
That's the thing. It's a dystopian Western.
First of all, dystopian.
Mm-hmm.
Explain this.
Dystopian. It's like Hunger Games and Ender's Game. It's like when the future goes dark and it's all kind of scary and things didn't go well.
Okay.
They call it dystopian future.
All right. All right.
You asked me.
It was a question. You didn't have to be such a dick about it.
I was not a dick about it.
Everybody wears hats in the future?
Everyone's a cowboy.
Hmm.
We're going to go back to the West. Got to.
If you were to include me into the series, the Shane Heron, I would like a hoodie of some sort. Like something kind of like a Jedi type throw.
You should be the leader of the Komodo boys. The dragon lady. The evil dragon lady.
That's terrible.
With a tail whipping.
I gotta say, besides the moonlighting swamp, this was a little disturbing to me. I was like, what? Right off the hop? This was disturbing.
Yeah, you weren't too happy about
that. No.
But I think that's in order to make you hate them, right?
Was that what he was going for?
Yeah.
Well, he won.
There you go.
Yeah. I reacted. First thing.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Are these called panels, each
They're
one?
Panels, yeah.
So one was the moon.
Mm-hmm.
2, 3, 4, 5. So the sixth panel had me at, I don't know about this. Yeah. I felt ways. Especially because I thought we were on the same tip of...
But that's why he did it. Because he doesn't like seeing animals be hurt.
Well...
So he made the villains do that, right? Makes sense.
Fine.
Sometimes you gotta go through that unpleasant experience to feel what you need to feel in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I want more.
If that's
my critique of the book is I wish there was another issue coming out sooner than later because I want to dig deeper into the characterization of Morris and maybe a little bit more backstory on him.
Mm-hmm.
To know, like, how did we get to this town?
Is that the idea? Is that what he's going with?
I'm not sure.
Do you have any inside scoop to share with us?
I know who's written stories for him that he's going to edit and work on.
Okay.
They might be 50, 60 page stories, but I don't know the premise exactly. What I do know is he wants all of these to be things that people can pick up at any point and read. They don't have to. It's not going to be this extensive, complicated universe. He wants them to be contained stories. So if it's like a...
So you can become a fan at any stage, really?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very smart.
You become a fan of just the character and that world without there being like, oh, you have to know this before you read that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's like a 4-part story, you read that 4-part story. And if you want to read the next one, you read that one too.
Okay.
But if you don't got to read it in order. It's just the character.
I think that's great.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I think, I don't know what a lot of these independent artists who, you know, put their blood, sweat, and tears into these things that they're making for on their own ideas that isn't an established character. Like, you know, if Spider-Man or Batman or their sales are always going to kind of be steady. And people who buy them are always going to buy them at this point.
Right.
So when people kind of put their neck out there to try something, you wonder if, are they looking, are this, you know, their hobby, their side thing, or do they want to do this full time? Because I would love if a lot of the guys that I've met can just work on what they're working on full time because they're getting that good. And if they just had more time to work on it, they'd be even better. If you can see it, you know?
Hmm.
So...
Was there anyone at the show that you know that was displaying or featuring some of their independent work?
People that I know? Well, of course, the Portuguese Prince was there.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Lima.
Did he have a bag of chips?
He did not. I did not see a bag of chips. But when he showed up at Shane's house the night before, Shane sent me a picture saying, guess who's here with a pack of Doritos as the picture. So,
what type of Doritos? That's the important question.
Spicy.
Ah, those are my faves!
In the Dorito family. It could have been just regular or it could have been spicy.
No.
Do you want me to check
for
you?
No, they have to be spicy.
They were Doritos though. Mm. Maybe just nacho flavor.
Meh.
Now I feel like having Doritos. I really do. So he was there. He had his table. He had his Black Hole Hunters Club repping for him and Shane. He had Deep Sea, which was his independent book with David Bishop, which is a really interesting book. He was there. Always good to see him. Sam Noir was there. Our buddy Sam Noir, who's been featured on the show the last couple of episodes. And I checked in on him. He was talking to another podcaster who he's friends with, but they were deep in conversation about The Flash.
Oh.
Yeah. So we just were talking for 10 minutes straight about the differences between Wally West and Barry Allen. And
only 10 minutes?
Maybe more. And, so that's... He's just one of those guys... I mean, people who've listened to the show in the last while, they know a lot about Sam Noir by this point.
Yeah.
But he knows everything about everything. Like,
those are one of the funnest guys to talk to.
Like,
no?
There's nothing he isn't an expert on. I love it. Like, I could talk to him for 3 hours just about Star Wars, just about The Flash. You know, like, he's basically the guy to have there with all the factoids.
You should have an episode with him about theories of stuff. Like, for example, what happened with Infinity War. If anyone hasn't seen it already, you're a loser. it's been 2 weeks already. Get on it. But, like, what's going to happen next? Or you know, not hypnosis. That's not the word I'm looking for. But, like, ideas. Like,
a synopsis. Like, is that the word you're
looking
for?
No, that's not the word. But just let's stick to what I originally said. Like, theories of what's going to happen with certain storylines or whatever. You should have a show strictly about that.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Look, and then you can go back and see what we got right and what we were completely wrong about.
Yeah.
We have a couple of those.
And
we are very optimistic about certain movies that were coming out that we became very disappointed with.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. It's just funny to hear Martin... Slam Duncan, shout out to Martin, the fastball special, when he tells it, he goes, you know, I went back, I listened to all the episodes where you guys were watching the previews and trailers for this movie, and you're so hopeful, and then when it came out, It was like you've been stabbed in the heart.
BBS so, is one of them, I'm sure. Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one and only?
I think that's the one and only. Yeah. So, yes. Short story long.
Yeah.
TCAF was fun. It was very different. You get a very different crowd there. People of all sorts are there selling their wares. And you get all kinds of different books.
Did you buy anything?
I did. I didn't go... I didn't buy as much as I thought I was anticipating to. About a couple things.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Like, it could get a little overboard sometimes.
Yeah. And so I bought an anthology from Raid Studios, which is the one of the studios that's in Toronto where a lot of very celebrated and gifted artists work there and come out of there. And a lot of them work for Marvel, DC, and do their own independent thing as well. But it's like a... It's kind of like a haven for who's who right now in Toronto comics. A lot of people come from there.
Okay.
So they have an anthology book where everybody kind of does a short story, does a little bit of art to kind of show what's coming out of the studio. But this is all their original kind of stories. Beautiful book, beautiful art in it. Again, makes you want more.
Was anyone doing any art stuff? Like drawing, like duel, like battles?
Sketch duels?
Yeah.
No, I don't think there was any sketch duels for here. And I didn't bring my sketchbook to get any sketches done.
Okay.
Because I kind of wanted to get a lay of the land and see what it was like. And just to how many levels there were. There's three levels. And then there's another room on the second level. Very similar to how Mocha was.
Right. You said there was more of a seating area this
time.
Yes,
much more places to sit, be
comfortable.
My God,
in New York, it was like...
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a very, very cool location to have it. It's very...
Was it central to, like, stuffs? Like, if you want to go take a break, like, if you want to leave the premises,
oh, yeah.
have something to eat, and then come back kind
oh,
of thing?
Oh, super, super central.
Okay. Because
you're at Yonge and Bloor, basically.
Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah.
I've never been to a library
in
that's
the where the
city.
Toronto reference line, yeah. So, it was super close to anywhere you want. If there's a bank, if there's, you want to take the subway down to Dundas Square for a quick, you know, bite to eat there. There's all kinds of options.
So when is the next TCAF? Like, how soon do they let people know that
this It'll be is next happening? Year, same time.
Same?
So, yeah,
okay.
Next May. Hmm. So it's like the other big con in Toronto that is completely different from... It's like purposely different from Toronto Comic-Con or from Van
so
Expo.
So in relation to that versus Comic-Con, what do you like better?
I'd still lean toward the big event of Fan Expo just because of the diversity. But there is much more I can't think of the word. This is much more friendly to the people that are there, creator and fan friendly, because everybody is a little bit less, there's no pressure as much as when you're at a Fan Expo or a Comic-Con of time and being able to talk to the creator, because you can go right up to them and talk to them, and it's much more like interactive. So for instance, at this show, you'll see artists and writers who are in Toronto who work for Marvel and DC, just walking around as fans, which is different, and there it's they're almost so nondescript that you don't realize, oh, that's so and so. They just look like another person going to look for their, you know, the new finds for themselves. So that aspect of it is very, very cool.
Well, I guess in Mocha they kind of did that too, right?
They like, did. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you tell me there's a this big honcho guy, Magnolia?
Oh, Mike Mignola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there and he was kind of pretty much accessible.
Very accessible. And people, he's a lot of people's like guy.
Didn't he do, don't tell me. The devil. Not the devil. The demon.
Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Yes.
He made him, right?
Yes.
What? 2 points for me.
Yeah. Yes, he that's
he was a good
big...
demon or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've
he's
never
a
read
person
Hellboy.
Who does, he's a demon.
But he was the creator
demon.
Of this
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, he's a creator of that, and that's a huge, huge success.
Like, he was right there.
Yeah. No, and for a lot of people, that's like their dream guy to kind of meet and talk to.
Right.
And they love the guy. So yeah, that's what you get to experience here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're much more, everything's just more accessible in that capacity. And it's not as much of a, it's not expensive. It's free.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's that aspect of it. But then at the same time, what you're missing is some of the big names and people that you want to see or going to panels with. I do like the big two, right? Mm-hmm. I do like being able to find deals on the stuff I do know.
Right.
So my biggest thing is getting comfortable with picking up a book that doesn't look like anything I'm used to.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's
there's
difficult.
A comfort with some of the familiarity.
Exactly.
That you, yeah.
Yeah. So you go to the big show and you'd be like, I want to find this book of
and the probability Flash. Of finding it is pretty high because the consumerism is pretty, like, there's going to be people there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then at the same time, it's the same all the time. There's a sameness to the Fan
right,
Expo.
Right.
It's like, oh, there's that seller again.
So do you find that you go to Fan Expo mostly like to do like to like for panels and to see not so much getting product, but more to just experience?
Now?
Yeah.
Yes. Now it's definitely for who's going to be there and the panels that they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you end up leaving with something. Because, you know, you look for, like, oh.
But that's... nothing's inaccessible anymore. Like, now you can order things on Amazon. Or you can, like, put, like, your comic book shop will, like, put things aside for you.
That,
like, it's
that's
not...
That's true. It's more this. It's more finding a bargain.
Okay.
And it's more sometimes finding something that's out of print. That you may only find in some...
I found something out of print for you.
What was that?
It was a Spider-Man thing.
Didn't
you tell me it was out of
no,
print? No, you bought something and then it was canceled,
oh,
but then
right.
they sent it to you anyway, so
yeah,
you got
yeah,
comic
yeah.
books for free.
Yeah, that's right.
That what a
big.
Deal.
That was good.
Tell them what they have, Stevens.
Stevens. Should I say it? Because I don't want anyone to come after
no,
me.
No, don't say it. Just
okay.
keep, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it.
Sometimes... they send you wrong things in the mail that turns out to be great.
Well, no, it wasn't even your fault though.
No,
it was
their fault.
You wanted to exit and
mm-hmm.
then it they got it too late, I suppose.
Yeah, so I got extra.
Whatevs.
Win for us.
Win.
Yeah, so that was TCAF. I had a good time. I'd like to go back. I had an interview, like I said, which
mm-hmm.
was good. I'm on the docket. I have another interview lined up in the future. Don't want to say what it is just yet until it happens.
Okay.
But it's a... He's a local artist. Very, very cool guy. I bought some of his books at Toronto Comic Con. And I really enjoyed them. But everybody... The thing that is most appealing is that everybody says he's one of the nicest guys.
Oh,
in the biz.
I like nice guys.
So, on top of the fact that I like his work, he's also super cool, super nice guy. And I'm looking forward to setting that up.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the TCAF. And I will post the interview as well.
Along with
this one? After this one. Yeah, after this one. A separate one. More content, the better. What's new with Daft J? Other than me being doing stuff. Can I just say you recommended a movie this past week.
I did.
On Netflix.
I did?
That I actually enjoyed. Yes, you did.
Oh, I think I know which one you're going to say.
Go ahead, talk about it.
What's his name now?
Ben Stiller?
No, I don't want his real name. I want his fictional name. Brian?
I think it's...
Gret.
Brad.
Brad.
I think it's Brad Status was the movie's name.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think so.
Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Well, Ben Stiller's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw it.
That's it. Thank you for listening. no, it was... You were 25 minutes in. You're always willing to rewatch something with me, which
always.
I appreciate very much.
Yeah.
You started watching it with me, and it's... It's not a... extremely exciting, like, action,
no.
this, that, and the other. No, it's one of those ones that gets you reflecting about life.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Ben Stiller, who's... at the stage of his life where his son, who's a gifted musician, is going to college. And he's just kind of evaluating where he is in his life and where his friends are that he went to college with and how it's kind of affecting his value of himself. Where did he go right? Where did he go wrong? And it's one of those movies that as you're watching it, you're asking yourself the same questions.
Right.
And it's good because I think it opens up dialogue for some of the uncomfortable things that we're all thinking that we want to talk about, but we sometimes keep to ourselves. And I like that for me. Like, I'm like, oh, I think about that sometimes. Or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if I would have done this different or what have you. So I'm thank you for recommending it to me because I ended up really enjoying it, even though at some points I was like, oh, my gosh, let me think about life now. But it was good. It was good because it comes full circle. And I think the message to the movie, it gives you, I guess, a place of solace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So think. What did you think about it? I'm telling you, it's your movie that I'm giving the review for.
I found it to be very interesting. I found it to be relatable,
mm-hmm.
and not just for me personally, but I thought, like, who hasn't thought about these things? Who hasn't felt unsure or insecure or, you know, just everyday stuff? And it was kind of nice to have an outlet where it sparks conversation. It sparks thought-provoking, like self-assessment a little bit. And to not be embarrassed about it. Like, okay, this is my life and this is what I have to show for it. Am I content about it? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, I think we live in such a, we live in a world where everything is promoted and advertised. Like, that's what people do on social media, right? It's like you go on vacation or you buy the latest greatest, and are you really content with yourself, or are you trying to prove a point to someone?
I think there's a lot of sorry to cut you off, but what you're saying, it makes me realize that we confuse or cross the connection of contentment and complacency. And a lot of times when you are fine and happy with yourself, people want you to feel like, oh, you're just complacent.
Right.
So you shouldn't be content because you're just resting on whatever it is you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
How can you really be happy if this is all you're comfortable with doing? And that goes in like every aspect of life.
Right.
Like, don't you want to be a manager? Don't you want to do more?
Don't you want a family? Yeah, like, I've had that thrown at me all the time.
Yeah,
like,
why don't you want that?
You don't want kids? Or
how could you not want to, you know, live here? Or mm-hmm. have, it's like, well, I'm happy.
And it's like, I'm happy, but it's almost like someone else's opinion all of a sudden trumps and makes my sure decisions, all of a sudden I become insecure about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, but wait, I was okay with this just a week ago.
Yeah.
And now I'm being messed with. And
yeah.
it's like, well, who am I doing this for? Am I doing it for them or am I doing it for me?
Exactly.
So I thought it was a very interesting movie that it was thought-provoking. I highly doubt that anyone's haven't thought about that themselves.
Oh, I think everyone does.
And I liked it. I just thought it was a very honest and full disclosure type of movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was funny too at times. So.
It was very honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, very authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good pick.
It was like a no filter type of film.
Yes. Yes.
And it was very Ben Stiller, not slapstick-like, but the other very Ben Stiller type thing I found. So that one and Kodachrome.
I gotta still watch that.
I saw that one, I think. I recommend it. I liked it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I gotta watch that one. I've been meaning to. I know if I turn it on at nighttime.
I'm a Netflix junkie. I've seen everything. And I rewatched the Black Panther documentary again.
You and Sue should have a podcast yourselves. Martin Sue, of just going through movies you guys watch that have nothing to do with all the superhero stuff that we always talk about. That would be interesting.
Just Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix.
Netflix and chill, that's what we should call it.
Yeah.
You're not laughing because you're looking at me dead face.
I like it. That's a good idea. I bet if they were listening, they would... Martin and Sue and Shane and anyone who listens to the show would be like, that's a good idea. Because it's a like, you need different perspectives on stuff.
Yeah.
I like that idea. That'd be very good.
Anyway, the Black Panther documentary made me pick up a book that I bought a while, but I have so many books to go through. And this is what pisses me off about you, because I'm thinking to myself, he keeps going to, like, these mocha fests and teacafs and, fan expos and this and that and the third. He goes to BMV and he's buying all these things. Like, it's, at what point do you actually get to read this stuff? And I'm like, what a waste. But really, it's kind of like what you said, right? When you find a bargain or a deal, you got to jump on it. Because you, and also, too, you don't know if it's going to go out of print. You don't know if you're ever going to see it again.
Yeah.
And you've actually have gone through that yourself, right? Where you're like, oh, I should have gotten it when I got it or when I saw it and I left it behind. Mm-hmm. And now, anyway, long story short, I ended up picking up the book Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, which is about the Black Panther movement. And I'm back into that. So that's what I've been doing these days, just Netflix and kind of trying to retrace myself back to...
Reading again.
Reading those stuff that
it's hard. You know what? Sometimes the best way to read is to watch less TV. It's hard.
That's so hard for me.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where you're getting your content from, right?
Yeah.
Even for me, sometimes I'll be reading a book and I want to have the TV on. Well, let me watch this now. Let me watch an episode of that. Like, I want to consume as much as I possibly can because you just don't feel there's enough time and there's so much to read and to do, right?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I like escapism, though. Like, I like to just shut down and do nothing. I feel like I'm on, like everybody else, right? You're on the whole week with work, you know, commute, just being polite to people is exhausting, and sometimes you just want to shut down, and that's why I kind of just revert to just watching something that allows me to just dumb down a little bit.
Absolutely.
I
think everybody needs that.
Yeah, but I mean, the content also that I am attracted to is very heavy, and so sometimes that in itself, although it can be an escape or separate from my everyday, it can be just as exhausting because the content is so serious.
Like, yeah.
This is not for entertainment purposes. This is really hard to get through.
Yes.
So yeah.
And that's from perfect example of reading things that are even for myself, when you read something that is a well-known character from a comic book, you kind of know what you're going to be getting with it.
Mm.
And then sometimes you read something that is still a graphic novel or a comic book, but has nothing to do... I don't think people get that yet, is there's a medium of that is comic books. There's genres within the medium. So there's mystery, horror, there's sci-fi, there's drama, like real slice of life stuff within the comics, and then you've got your superhero comics.
Mm.
And... within the superhero genre, there's espionage, there's sci-fi, there's all those different things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But with the indie stuff, or the creator-owned stuff, I should say, not so much indie, but the creator-owned stuff, you've got all kinds of different things you could get that is heavy.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if I'm ready for reading this, you know, March, for instance, or Mouse, which is, you know, a retelling of what happened during the World War II. So like, it's heavy stuff, it hits you hard and it could bring you down. So you gotta let me read Silver Surfer for and even sometimes in those stories they're very heavy because they use themes and morality tales to kind of get you to think, you know.
Yeah.
But that escapism, just the bombs explode, the Independence Day
of
entertainment, you know, or just everything's exploding, we're running, and sometimes you need that.
As long as Boomer makes it, it's
as
fine.
Long as Boomer makes it.
So I think we should end up this episode. It's been kind of all over the place, very random. But seeing as Infinity War finished the way it did, I've had some ideas.
Okay.
Of what's gonna happen.
Okay.
Tell me. Do you have any theories of?
You know what? In the episode
Can where, I interrupt you? Yeah. I know I asked you the question, but now it's about me. Okay. So one day I was sweeping. You remember this, right?
Okay.
I was sweeping the house because she's shedding like a beast. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh! And you kind of popped your head up like, yeah? And I'm like, hello? And then I explained what I thought is going to happen. And you're like, well, yeah, duh. And I'm like, ah! It was like a Bucky moment. Like, I didn't know that, you know, you stole that moment from me, by the way.
I'm sorry. You never let that go.
No, I'm never going to let that go.
You gotta let it go.
I didn't know, for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, in, what was it called? Captain America Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to my even seeing the movie, it was revealed to me by my partner in crime.
Me.
Yes. That the villain, the Winter Soldier, was in fact Steve Rogers' childhood friend, Bucky.
It's not a spoil.
It was a spoil to me, and it ruined it for me. I was like, and you're like, exactly what you did. Like, that's not a big deal. I'm like, of course it's a big deal because I didn't know it. Not everybody knows everything about the Marvel Universe. And that was one of the things that I didn't know. And to this day, I feel there's one of those stuff that you took away from me. So, I digress.
If I went to watch Batman.
No. You said this already. It doesn't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
If we were going to watch Spider-Man, right? And the person with you knows Spider-Man, has watched the first Spider-Man movie, for instance. And
knows Spider-Man, has watched a Spider-Man what?
Knows Spider-Man, has seen a Spider-Man movie before.
Knows Spider-Man.
Knows, like knows about something and about Spider-Man.
K-N-O-W-S?
Yes.
Okay.
And you say to them, so, yeah, Norman Osborn is the Green Goblin. And they're like, what? Norman Osborn is the Green Goblin? How could that be? Why did you tell me that? I didn't know.
Some people, not everybody knows. I was like you, thinking that everybody has to know the expect the unexpected.
I know, but it wasn't like...
No.
It wasn't a twist. It wasn't like a twist ending.
It
like,
was,
whoa!
It was
I didn't see me. That one coming.
It was for me.
All right.
And you know how I know that it wasn't just me that felt that way? Because when we went to go see Winter Soldier, there was someone in the theater, who went that scene where Captain America took off like Winter Soldier's mask and he did like this tumbleweed move in the middle of the street and all of a sudden you see Bucky's face.
Uh-huh.
This chick went, oh! Like,
and it was me.
Like that is what I wish I would have experienced. That moment of like, what? Like, I wish I had that.
What was funny
and
was
I didn't.
When it happened, when you heard her do it, you're like, must be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I could be surprised
like
that.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. So I was, yeah. So then anyway, so I tell you, like, this is what's going to happen. You're like, oh, yeah.
So what's your Infinity War theory that I ruined?
Well, you didn't ruin it. You kind of solidified my theory. I believe that they'll just take this time stone and just go backwards.
I think if we go backwards to...
Because he did that. Thanos did that in the movie
where he
went back and he took the Infinity Stone that Scarlet Witch destroyed, brought back Vision, and then took the stone from him. So I feel inevitably that's what they're going to do. They're gonna find Thanos, they're going to do the thing, and then they're going to find the stone, and they're just going to just one thing back. Gamora's back, the Avengers are back.
I think she's gone.
The world is back. How do you know?
I think she's doing that other movie there where she's a blue person.
She's a blue person?
What's that movie?
Avatar. Avatar?
Mm-hmm.
She can do two at the same time. I mean, not at the same time.
I think they're killing her off.
No.
Yeah.
Well, how's Peter going to take it?
It's going to affect him in the third one. It's going to be, you know, the aftermath of it all.
She'll probably Guardians. Show up at the end, at the end credits of
She's technically still there as a child, right? She's trapped.
So she'll grow up to still become Gamora.
We'll see. And I don't know. But I think if you go back to episode 113, where we talked about Avengers Infinity War, I think we said that the time gem is going to be a factor.
Did we?
I think so.
I don't know.
It was a long conversation.
All 2 hours. What are you talking about? We said this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
So are you saying this conversation is redundant?
I think it's happened. And I said it's redundant. I said it's happened. Perhaps. Because I think my theory was, and I'm incorrect, I think I'm going to be very incorrect, is that the Time Stone would be a way to bring in, to reverse time. It'll change the timeline so that the Fantastic Four had always existed in it.
Mm.
And that would be their way of introducing them into the universe. But I don't think that's going to happen. It could be, I think
because
I'm
trying
wrong.
To understand how there's going to be all these sequels when most of the half of the universe is gone.
Well, so, they're going to bring everyone back, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that how can they do that when, like, there's going to be a next Black Panther. There's going to be another Ant-Man. There's going to be another Spider-Man, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, how does that happen? Do they tell, like, are the sequels, in fact, going to be prequels? Like, what's happening here? You know what I mean? Are the movies that are going to come out, the sequels, are they going to come out prior to Infinity War? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. They could. That could be the thing. But it all depends on what they've made. Because the next installment to this, like the sequel to the Infinity War is complete, right? So depending on what they've done with that, I think too, the Russo brothers were quoted as saying, had they known that Black Panther would be the phenomenon that it is, they would have treated the death a little bit more grandiose when he died. They would have made it a bigger scene instead of him just like... Cause,
fluttering into the air?
Because
into
I think when they filmed this... His part in this movie, that Black Panther movie, was obviously not out or even finished yet.
How did they think it wasn't going to be a big to-do, though?
I don't think anyone expected it to surpass all the other movies. I think people expected it to be a big hit, but it definitely superseded what people thought it would do. It's like top 5 movie of all time. Like, it's way up there.
Right.
So... As far as the solo superhero movies, I think it's number one of all time in all superhero movies.
Well deserved.
Yeah, I think just the
Avengers. Round of applause. Round of applause for Black Panther.
And it comes out this week on DVD.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I'm so excited. I think I told you, like, on your way home from TCAF, go to Walmart and pick up the thing. And you're like, it doesn't come out. I'm like, what?
It's on digital. Do you want to own it digitally or do you want to own it physical?
No, I like feeling things.
Oh man, only you could come up with that stuff. Yeah. And get away with it. Anything else you want to share?
Did you tell your theory?
Oh, my theory. I agree. I think it's going to be the Time Stone.
Is it really that simple after all of this?
I think it'll be done in a much more creative way.
Do you feel like it's a little bit of a letdown? If it's that simple?
As long as there's some sort of ramifications to them doing it, I think they're going to go back in time to the first Avengers movie where there's a way to change the outcome by revisiting that original battle. And that's why the six Avengers are still alive.
Isn't Captain Marvel supposed to be like, again, like a prequel to all of this?
Yeah, I think her story takes place in the 90s from what I've been told. I think we're gonna
and
see.
And why would he call her if there's a chance? If there's a 50-50 chance that she's also not in the, if she was killed in the universe?
I guess it's a last ditch effort, right? 50-50 chance. I really don't know.
Should have called the Punisher.
There's there's memes of that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, there's memes of that.
Huh? Why is there memes of that?
Just as a joke, like he should have called the Punisher, just like you said.
That's so funny.
See? Look at you.
Oh my god. I should have written it. Me and the Russo brothers should have collaborated.
No. Because you would have said, is there any way we could bring Bruce into this? Because he would have he probably has an infinity gauntlet.
Probably does. Just like he has all the kryptonite
stones
just in case.
Mm-hmm.
He would have a contingency plan for sure.
Yeah, he's got a contingency plan for everything.
That's what makes him amazing.
Ugh, makes him boring.
You know what? That's uncalled for. And I don't appreciate that.
I'm sorry. It makes it seem like I insulted your father.
It was insulting.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Are we going to end this on a low note?
No, we're not going to end it on a low note. We're going to end it with, I think we should plan out a new book club for us to do.
A
book club.
Okay.
We haven't read and discussed something for a long time. And I'd like to get you back on the comic book reading train.
I'm on the reading.
Yeah, you're reading civil rights stuff, which is fine. I'm saying a comic book that you haven't read before. I want you to like challenge yourself with a new
challenge character. Myself?
Yeah. Challenge us. Something that you
have. Okay, so what is it?
You pick it. And it can't be Batman.
Ugh. Fine.
Do you have anything off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Other than Daredevil?
Yeah.
Other than Daredevil?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
What's it going to be?
It's something that I recently bought that I haven't gotten around to, but it falls in the category of the mood that I'm in right now.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah. Wait, you don't know what it is?
I do.
What is it called?
Something about my brother. Nate Powell. It's racial relations.
Why is it your brother?
It's something, that's the title, Something My Brother. That's what we're going to go with?
We are going to read...
Okay.
Incognito.
I can't even say the title.
Why? That's what it is.
I know, but it could be like... All right. That's what we're going to read.
This is what we're going to read.
Is it wrong for white people to say that word too now?
How do you feel?
I'm not allowed to have an opinion on it.
Why? Because you're white man privilege?
Exactly. Straight white male. I don't know. I just don't want to be offensive.
Does anybody know what this is about? Should we give them a prelude of what we're going to read?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll read the back, okay? In a time when looks could kill, there was only one way to survive. .. The early 20th century, an era when lynchings were a commonplace throughout the American South. To most of the press, the epidemic or racial murder wasn't even news, but a few courageous reporters from the North risked their lives to expose these atrocities. They were light-skinned African-American men who could, in quotations, pass for white. They called this dangerous assignment going incognito. Zane Pinchback, a reporter from the New York-based New Holland Herald, escapes with his life after the latest incognito story goes bad. But when he returns to the sanctuary of Harlem, he's sent on a news story. The arrest of his own brother, charged with the brutal murder of a white woman in Mississippi. Matt Johnson, winner of the prestigious Hurston Wright Legacy Award for Fiction, constructs a fearless graphic novel that both a gripping mystery and a disturbing exploration of race and self-image in America, deftly illustrated with period detail by Warren Pleece.
So if you could pick a Batman book, what would it be? What? I'm just kidding. It's heavy.
I think this is a great, I think this is the mood I'm in. You told me to pick it. Right. I think this is what I want to go with.
All right.
Hey.
Let's do it.
All right.
So before we end, I did a quick panel at the TCAF. It wasn't even a panel, it was more like a discussion room.
Okay.
Where they talked about forming book clubs. And one of the pieces of advice they gave was not to always pick something that you already like. Not to say that you've done that because you haven't read it yet.
No, I haven't read it yet.
But for myself, to step out of the comfort zone, because you oftentimes go into something that you are attached to or you like already, so that you don't criticize it. You just talk about how much you love it, which is fine too, but it doesn't open up the dialogue. Like, perfect example is Paper Girls, right? We both read it. I felt a certain way. You felt a different way mm-hmm. on your initial
right,
read,
right,
which
right.
makes the conversation be something.
A little bit more open.
It creates discussion. It creates diversity of opinion, which is what you want, uh-huh. right? So, good pick.
You think?
Sure.
You seem a little shaken up.
It's not something that I would have thought to read, but I think, I mean, you're probably going to be passionate about it because you're in that headspace, but why not? Let's read it.
Why not?
Bought it.
It's a play on words of going incognito.
I got it.
Just in case you were wondering.
I didn't know that. I wasn't sure. All right, should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it.
All right.
Thank you. What do you think about the Solo trailer?
Oh, yeah. That's going to get watched so hard.
Okay, now we can wrap it up.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Eric, Anthony, and Daff J. You can reach us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Daff J, any plugs for yourself? I think we're good.
Okay.
Thank you once again, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for more Cave of Solitude content coming your way.
Ciao.